It's nice to see everyone who's made an effort to be with us. I'm looking around and I see some people who've worked a long day today, and still you've made time and effort to come and to listen to the gospel. We do appreciate that. It takes effort. We invite you to return tomorrow night and Thursday night for the preaching of the gospel. So tonight is Tuesday, then Wednesday and Thursday, 7:30 every evening. We ask that you return. Now, before we read from the Bible together, we'll pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. We are thankful that indeed He's listening. He listens for the cry of sinners. We are told in the Bible that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we know this to be true. We look around this room tonight and there are many who were once lost and now they're saved. We're thankful for this. We remember, Father, that there were once people who sat here with us and now they're in heaven. And we're thankful for that. And Father, we think of the need that there is for each soul here to honestly contemplate the Word of God and to think about eternity. We ask Thee to bless us, bless John, and Paul Robinson, or Paul Jenkinson up there as they preach the gospel in English Point. We pray for John Meekin and Tim Burton as they preach the gospel over there in the Bridgewater area. For Frank and Brandon as they continue in Heightsville. And we pray, Father, for us here as we look to Thee for power. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you have your Bible, open it to the book of Acts, chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17. I'm going to read a few verses in Acts 17. Beginning at verse 24. But before I say that, we need to understand that this man who is going to preach the gospel, the Apostle Paul, had come to a city where there were many different religions. That's really what's going on here in Acts chapter 17. He comes to a city where there are many different religions, and he has an opportunity to stand up and address people from all of these different cultures and from different religious backgrounds, and he preaches the gospel to them. He preaches about God, and he preaches about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're breaking in here into the middle of Paul's address to these people. Now remember, some of them worshiped idols. Some of them worshiped nature. Some of them worshiped the mythical Greek gods. And yet, Paul is going to preach to them the gospel. Chapter 17, verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He, this is important, He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, haply, if haply, they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. At the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, that he hath raised him from the dead. I find verse 27, we'll go back up to verse 27 to be very, very interesting, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. My message is not really going to be on verse 27, but I want you to know this. God created the heavens and the earth. God has given all of us life. The God that we are preaching on to you is the God of the heavens, the God who is out there, the God whose dwelling place is eternal in the heavens. And yet we look at his power in creation so that not only is everything on this earth created by him, but everything in the universe is created by him. So as far as you can go that way, and as far as you can go that way, and never meet together, every star you see, every planet you see, every speck of space dust. Now, I'm not an astronomer, but all of the things that you see in the entire expanse of the universe, God has created with the word of his power. And yet, we can't look at God as some impersonal being that's just out there, because God has an interest in you down here. Not just as a group now. Sometimes we think of ourselves as a group, don't we? And we look around and we say, well, God has an interest in all people. Sure, God has an interest in all people. Thank God for that. But God has an interest in you as an individual person. And you know what you would find if you called on the Lord or if you sought after the Lord tonight? You would find he's not far from you. He's only one call away, and he would respond to your cry for salvation. He's not far from every one of us. Paul was walking through the city of Athens, and he came to the place where all of the men were talking about philosophy and religion. And he saw a lot of different carvings and statues that they used in their religious rituals. Now, if you were to go up and down the streets of O'Leary, you probably wouldn't find something like that here. And you wouldn't find it in Campbellton, where I live, either. But there are many cities of the world where you will find things like this, right? There are temples that honor this certain God. There are temples that honor this certain religion. There are churches, and there are synagogues, and there are places of worship all over the place, right? And you see all of these different ones. And the Apostle Paul was looking at all of these different idols and all of these different objects of worship, and then he sees this. To the unknown God. You know what they were doing? They were going through all the different things that they thought were gods and said, now, if we need rain, we'll pray to this God. And if we need sunshine, we'll pray to this God. And if we want our crops to grow, we'll pray to this God. And if we want to have good luck in fishing, we'll pray to this God. They had a God for every single thing. And then they thought, what if we've forgotten about one? What if we forgot about one? So we better make an idol to the one that we don't know. And they put it there and they said, to the unknown God. And they, with all of their different gods, thought they should make one in case they missed one. And Paul is going to come in right into their presence, right into their midst, and he's going to preach. Not about all of the different gods and make sure you don't miss one, but one God and there are none others. That's a different message, isn't it? One God and there are none others. One God who created all things. One God who sustains all things. One God who gives you life and breath. One God who reaches out in love. One God whom we all have to meet, but just one God. Now that might have been a difficult thing for them to face, but when it comes to the preaching of the gospel, we must begin at square one. When it comes to objects of worship, there are many idols, but only one God. Paul was preaching now. He's saying now, I know that you were worshiping these other gods because you didn't know about the God I'm going to tell you about. But I'm going to tell you about a God who's not made of wood, a God who's not made of stone, but a God who made the wood and a God who made the stone. Not a God who is dead and lifeless, but a God who is living and life-giving. A God who can give you eternal life. And it begins with this God. And he looks out and he says, now this God, he gives all life and breath and all things. This is a sobering thought, but I think we all should think about it regularly if we don't. I think if you're sick, you should take medicine that helps you. That's pretty common, right? If you have a medication that can help, take it. I think if the doctor tells you to exercise, you do what you can. You should do that, right? I think if you're going to go for a ride on your snowmobile, wear a helmet. That's how I feel about it. It'll protect your head and whatever's inside your head, right? But no matter how much medication you take, no matter how much you exercise, and no matter how careful you are, there's a God in heaven, and according to the book of Daniel, he holds your breath in his hand. You know what that means? It means that you will not die until he says you die. But it also means that you will not live if he says you don't live. That's what was being presented in the book of Daniel. Belshazzar, God has your breath in his very hand, so that if you are thinking that you can control your destiny, and you are thinking that you can control the length of your life and the way you will die, you are wrong. Because as soon as God decides and he closes his hand, we're all going into eternity. The God who gives life and breath also holds our life and breath. And it's sad for us when people pass away. But we need to remember, each one of us need to remember, it is God who is in control. We can't control that. But then he says this. God also appointed, he actually made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in the earth. This is a simple thing that our world tries to deny, but that I believe wholeheartedly, and it is this. When it comes to race and culture, there's no difference between me and you. You have a different language, maybe? I have a different language. You like different food? I like different food. You may come from a country that you need to dress up in warm clothing year-round. I come from a country where I get to stay, and sometimes I wear shorts and sometimes I wear pants. All of those things are marked in our society as distinctions, our skin color, our religions, and all of those things. But God is saying this in the preaching of the gospel, that one God made one race, all people. That's why there's not a God for the people of Milo and another God for the people of O'Leary. That's why there's not a God for the people of Nunavut and a God for the people of the Philippines. There is one God. Why? Because we're all one. We're all one race. And God is saying here that because we're all one, we don't have the choice of which God we serve. It's only one God. Now, as he's preaching that, the people are listening, and they're listening closely. Why? Because they want to know this God. the gods that they were worshiping couldn't hear them. You know, wood and stone, you can do a lot with, but you can't make wood and stone hear you, right? And they couldn't feel them, and they couldn't see them. But now he's talking about a God who made them, who gave them life, and could hear their words and could see their doings. And now they're a little bit interested, and he says, now God has made from one all of us. And he's appointed the bounds that we should go this far and no further. And then he said that they should seek the Lord if haply they may feel after him. What's he saying? God has placed you here. Now, Prince Edward Island is not perfect, right? There is a song that they used to sing called Prince Edward Island is Heaven to Me. Well, Prince Edward Island is not heaven to me, but I like it here. In this place, I have access to everything I need, right? So I can get food, thank God, I can get food. I can get water. I can have shelter. I have the warmth of social interaction. All of those things I have here, right where God has placed me. God has given me so many good things. Why? Because he wants me to seek him. The goodness of God, the goodness that God has blessed me with is designed to get me to think about God and to seek after him. You see, the goodness of God to you is really designed to get you to think about God. Why? Because it's time to seek the Lord. In the Old Testament book of Hosea, chapter 10, we have a preacher there who's talking to people with hard hearts. Their hearts have been hardened by sin. They've turned away from God many, many, many times. And even though they were turning away from God many times, the preacher still said this, this time, tonight, it's time to seek the Lord. Soften your hearts, break up your fallow ground, and seek after the Lord that's been so kind to you. And God's been good to you. God is good. According to the Bible, God is nothing but good. And God does good. So that there are people here tonight, and you're enjoying good health, but that should make you think about the God who gives it to you. Right? And seek after him. You're enjoying the different amenities that a country like this has to offer. You should be thankful and seek after God. But I'm going to go further. God is really good to you because you're hearing the message of the gospel. And for some of you, you've heard the message of the gospel for many, many years. And God keeps being good and good and good. Why? So you'll seek the Lord. So that tonight, you will seek the Lord. And as the apostle is preaching, and he's pointing out the God of creation, he's pointing out the God who gives life, he's pointing out the God that you should seek after, he's pointing out the God who is near. He says, now, I understand. You may not have known about this God before. And when you didn't know, God overlooked it. But now, things are different. For the last 5 minutes of my message, I want to think about this verse. The times of this ignorance are the times of not knowing. God winked at, or God overlooked. But now, we don't like being rushed, do we? Some of us are fairly efficient and prompt, but none of us like being pushed. None of us like being rushed. So that, I mean, it is what it is, but if you want to buy a car, I'm always up for entertainment. I'll go with you. And I like to talk to the car salesman because I like to see all of the different little tricks he's trying to play on me, right? And one of them is, you sign today, or you miss the car. They'll say that to you. That really means run away while you can. That's how I would say it. But we don't like being pushed, do we? Now, God is not making some kind of an ultimatum when he says this. It's not a sales tactic. It's an actual offer of salvation. And the offer of salvation is only good for the present time. So that it says, now. If I could guarantee you that we'd be here tomorrow, I would say this is a two-day offer. If I could guarantee you that we're going to be here next week, I would say this is a week-long offer from God. But I can't guarantee that. And neither can our brother David. Nobody can guarantee that we'll be here tomorrow. Nobody can guarantee that you'll be here tomorrow. That's why God says, now, tonight. It's all you have. Now, God commandeth all men. Now, the word men in this case is not just the males in our audience. It is for all people. And in the context of the New Testament, the word all people often has to do with all nations. So not just every individual that lives on PEI, but every individual that lives in every nation throughout the world. There's a counter on the internet, and I don't know how reliable it is, but I looked at it today, and it's counting how many people born today, how many people died today. Big numbers. But the population's growing every day by sometimes hundreds of thousands. And I looked, and it said, current population of the earth, 8.2 billion people. Now, I don't want to seem old, but I remember when it was 6 billion people, right? And once you hit a million, I lose all concept of how much that is anyway. But 8.2 billion people on the face of the earth, and now God commands all of them everywhere to repent. So that it doesn't matter where I travel, I can say the same thing. All men, all women, from every nation, from every language, from every religion, from every culture. Now, repent. What does it mean to repent? Well, there's a lot of things I suppose you could think of when it talks about repenting. But repenting involves changing your mind. Might even involve more of a change of direction. But not just changing your direction so that you're going the wrong way and then you change and you go another wrong way. You ever done that? You get lost in a town and you take that street and that's the wrong street. And you say, well, I'm going to go back and take this street. Well, that's the wrong street too. You can do that a lot of times, right? You can change your mind and go from one wrong way to another. But repentance is not going from one wrong way to another. Repentance is turning from your way and turning to Christ. It is turning from sin and turning to salvation. It is a turn from the direction you are headed in a completely opposite direction to come to Christ. That's what repentance is. So that, if the Bible says your way is wrong, you admit my way is wrong, and you turn from sin, and you put your faith in Christ. That is repentance. And God now, tonight, commands all men in every place to do what? Turn from sin and trust Christ. Why? Because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man. That man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And the people who were listening, who wanted to hear about this God and wanted to hear about this gospel, immediately threw up their arms. And some of them said, resurrection from the dead. That can't be true. And yet it is true. because the same man who died on the cross 3 days later rose up from the grave. And tonight, he commands it that all men everywhere should repent.